If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail. Woo! And the super athlete-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps? You got this! And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free, long cut, and pouches that gives you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz that you're used to without tobacco. Fully Loaded Chew comes in 9 flavors and is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine, the purest form of nicotine there is. To give us a try, head on over to fullyloadedchew.com for a $1 can of chew with free shipping when you enter the code OUTDOOR1. OUTDOOR and the number 1. Lastly, many outdoorsmen are trying to quit tobacco altogether, and Fully Loaded Chew may be that first step. For more information on our product line, visit fullyloadedchew.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson. And if you are a mobile hunter, you might want to listen closely to this episode because Timber Ninja Outdoors, and today we're going to be talking with Jason Red from Timber Ninja Outdoors. These guys are doing some crazy things over there. And as far as I know, they have a prototype right now, and after talking with Jason, it sounds like they're going to, late spring, early summer, they're going to have the first ever carbon fiber tree stand available. And I know that for the longest time, how do I say this without sounding like a douchebag? I've been a mobile hunter since 2006, and I've been in the hunting type industry, you know, a lot of connections since 2006. And ever since I've, you know, started talking to people and getting more in depth about my gear and things, there's always been rumblings of people saying, oh man, we're going to, someday there's going to be a carbon fiber tree stand. Why don't we do carbon fiber? Well, it's too expensive, right? The cost is going to be too expensive. We don't have the technology to manufacture it, blah, 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 and so on. Well, Timber Ninja Outdoors has done it, right? They will have a carbon fiber tree stand available. Now, what are the benefits of carbon fiber? Extremely light. It has different than metal. It has thermal properties, like it doesn't get as cold. The downfall is it's going to be expensive, right? And we talk about all of that. We talk about the manufacturing process of the tree stands. We talk about their new product line for coming out in 2022, like their saddle. They have a platform. They started out with carbon fiber sticks, and now they have aluminum sticks, the tree stand, the saddle, the platform. And it sounds to me like they're going to be putting out a backpack to carry all of this stuff in as well. So it's a really awesome episode, especially if you are an ounce or pound counter. If you're that guy who wants the latest and greatest type gear, they're going to be putting out some really cool shit here later in the year. So keep an eye out for that. But before we get into today's episode, I want to, let's see, do a commercial here real quick. And theaverageconservationist.com is a lifestyle brand that has a ton of kick-ass apparel, awesome t-shirts, awesome hoodies, awesome hats. I rock the general hat every single day now, it seems like, and the camo hoodie, that's like my go-to outfit for up here working in the office. They have a, you know, like other little trinkets that they sell as well, but mainly hats, t-shirts, lifestyle brand, awesome logos, all conservation themed. And the cool part about all of this is that they give 10% of all of their profits to some form of conservation effort. So not only are they putting out cool products, but they're walking the walk and giving money directly to conservation. So, theaverageconservationist.com. They are a 2% for certified business, and they have their podcast, the Average Conservationist podcast, here on the network as well. And then we have Hunt Stand. If you are looking, oh, wait one second. NFC10 gets you 10% off. NFC10 gets you 10% off the Average Conservationist line of apparel. And then Hunt Stand, if you're looking for a mobile or a mobile, and when I mean mobile, I mean your phone app, hunting app that you can download to your phone and do a whole bunch of crazy stuff with, you definitely need to check out Hunt Stand. You can go to huntstand.com and read up on all of the functionality. It's only like $30 for an entire year of service, and it allows you to do a ton of stuff. Like, obviously, you know, property boundaries, ownership, who owns those properties, difference between public and private. It allows you to look at a variety of different maps, base maps, like satellite imagery or topography, or, man, I think there's like even crazy things like watershed. All right. So there's a whole bunch of different maps you can choose from. They are updating their satellite imagery on a monthly basis. I don't know anybody else who's doing that. And yeah, definitely go to huntstand.com or go to Google Play. You can download it for free, but then when you upgrade is when you pay for it. And it's very affordable. So check it out, huntstand.com. And the discount code for 20% off is SN20 for 20% off, SN20 for 20% off. And lastly, novexoutdoors.com. And that is that's the company who is replacing Lone Wolf. And when I mean replacing Lone Wolf is not a company anymore. Novex is a newer company. They were owned by the same people. So it's a little bit, I'm working on trying to get someone from Novex to come on, tell the story, talk about the products, made in America tree stands that function just like the old Lone Wolf did. And so that's why it was very easy for me to get on board, because they do the same thing that the Lone Wolf's do just a new company, new name, same awesome product, same functionality, same made in America, made in America design. So, go check out the Hunt Stand. They have they have sticks and they have the different varieties of tree stands, obviously all renamed under this new brand, but Novex. Go check out Novex, man. And other than that, I say we quit BSing here and we get right into today's episode with Jason Red from Timber Ninja. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Hunting Gear Podcast. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking with Jason Red from Timber Ninja Outdoors. And before we even start talking about equipment, man, it sounds like you had one hell of a year hunting deer.
Yeah, I had a pretty good year. Went to Iowa, ended up shooting a really good buck there. It's kind of a long story, but I actually shot him and had to get a dog, and we lost him on some private land that he ran to. And I connected with the landowner and gave us permission to pursue. And the gentleman had history with the deer for about 4 years, and ultimately we were not able to find it, but he said that he would potentially be able to find it if he was dead during gun season, which first weekend of gun season they found him. So I was able to go retrieve him. Kind of a bittersweet ending, but yeah, ultimately, I knew I was the one that killed the deer, and not the way we want it to go, but yeah, hey, sometimes it doesn't work out the way you want it.
I'll say this, kudo to the landowner for, number one, helping you look for it, but at the end, giving him back, because he's not a small deer.
Yeah. I really showed him a lot of gratitude for that, because he was struggling with it. He was thinking about keeping it, but the weekend that he found it, he actually caught somebody trespassing, and he's like, that helped me make my decision, because you didn't necessarily have to tell me you were going to pursue the deer on my land. Cause in Iowa, you can solely pursue without permission.
Yep.
So he said, I have a lot of appreciation for that. And just, I knew at that moment I need to do the right thing. So yeah, there's a lot of great people in Iowa, man. I loved hunting there. Just all the locals I ran into were just nice as they could be. And
yeah,
the deer hunting was really good, way better than the low deer density we have on the East Coast or mountains here in North Carolina.
Yeah. So, man, do you remember the last time you guys were on this podcast? I think it's been like over a year.
Yeah. It's either a year or a little over, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So just let's kind of start at the beginning and let's fast forward through some of the parts that we need to fast forward through and ultimately get to the new offerings that you guys have here at Timber Ninja. What year did the company start?
We started in May of 2020, right in the height of COVID.
Okay. May of 2020. And what was your first offering?
Our first offering was our C1 carbon fiber climbing sticks that we offer in a 20 and 24 inch length. That was, still is our flagship product, at this point.
Yeah.
So that's what we launched with. And then the following year we brought out an aluminum version to that as well.
Okay.
So,
gotcha. So from a standpoint, obviously everybody loves the carbon fiber, right? I want the carbon fiber, but there is a price, there's a bit of a price difference between, let's just say one carbon fiber stick versus one aluminum stick. So what has been the reaction from your guys's, your customers on what stick sells better, what stick they feel performs better, who's buying the aluminum version versus who's buying the carbon fiber option?
We sell about 75% carbon fiber.
Okay.
And we haven't done a lot of promotion on the aluminum sticks. We've kind of just put more of our marketing attention towards the carbon. But, typically our customers are mainly serious mobile hunters. I would say the first and foremost. But, also the type of people that I've noticed that, purchase our product are also professionals. You know, we get a lot of doctors, attorneys, entrepreneurs, CEOs. That's, you know, usually people in a little bit higher salary bracket.
Yeah.
And then aluminum, a lot of the people are, you know, just you're just everyday guys.
Yeah.
We have everybody that's bought the aluminum sticks really loves them because they are a little different. You know, I mean, we use a composite step instead of a metal step, so it keeps it a little bit lighter and also makes it a little bit quieter when stacking. So
yeah,
there is some added features and benefits to it over traditional other aluminum sticks. And, you know, and the fact that we make them all here in the United States is really helped out a lot. We have a lot of people who are very proud to be purchased from, you know, American-made manufacturer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, what about the carbon fiber? Is that made in America as well?
Yes. Yeah. All of everything that we sell and all the new products that we have slated that we'll talk about later, they're all made here. I mean, with the exception of, you know, bolts, you know, have to come out of China. You know, that's just kind of the nature of the beast. There's not. Yeah. I mean, there are American manufacturers of them, but, you know, that is something that, you know, it just comes out of China, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right. So now comes the time where, all right, so you introduced Timber Ninja with the carbon fiber stick. Then you later down the road, you came out with the aluminum stick. What's new? Because I heard a lot. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to go to the ATA show this year because of COVID in the household. Talk to us a little bit about the new offerings that you have out, whether they're, you know, out to market now or whether they'll soon be out to market.
Yeah. So, you know, since the inception of our company, you know, we have three core values that we live by. And the first one was, you know, innovation. We want to be the most innovative mobile hunting products company there is. And, you know, using carbon fiber, for instance, you know, it's something that nobody has ever really used before. It's not easy to work with. It's expensive to get into, but it has a lot of, you know, features and benefits that definitely benefit the hunter. And then, you know, the second part of us is, you know, we're big on education, spreading as much education as we can to help hunters out. And then the third piece for us is conservation. You know, I think I mentioned last time, we give a portion of all of our profits since day one back to helping, you know, conservation organizations. You know, it's not like we're a huge company, so that, you know, these aren't huge investments that we're making into these, but, you know, every little bit counts. And
yeah,
as we grow, we continue, you know, strengthen that as well.
You're walking the walk.
Trying to, you know, it's really tough when you, as a business owner, when you're continually reinvesting all of your money back into your company, it makes it a struggle, you know, because you're up here in the weekends and stuff, assembling product and getting orders out. And you're like, man, I'm up here doing this for free right now.
Yeah.
But it makes you feel good.
Yep. Absolutely. So that's your core values. Talk a little bit about the products that you're bringing to market this year.
Yeah. So, you know, we've been teasing with the idea, of coming out with a stand since our inception. I mean, we started working on making a carbon fiber tree stand essentially before we launched the sticks. It's been a very laborious project, and it's taken a lot of time, a lot of prototypes, a lot of capital investment, but we've finally gotten to where we're at the point now we're ready to go production with a carbon fiber lock-on stand. And, you know, so it'd be the first of its kind. It's really unique. It's, you know, it's a traditional looking style. I mean, there's only so many ways you can change up a lock-on stand. But you know, the main thing is utilizing the carbon fiber. And it's 100% carbon fiber. It's not any type of composite mix or injection or anything like that. It is true carbon fiber.
Yeah.
And
so, So I a real quick question. When it comes to, you know, like everybody's familiar with Lone Wolf or XOP or the a Lone Wolf Custom Gear, Novex, you know, and I'm looking at a picture of it right now, and it looks similar to those products, but it is made with carbon fiber. Talk to us a little bit about the actual process that you have to go through to get carbon fiber, I guess, from a raw material to an actual tree stand.
Yeah, so, you know, carbon fiber is essentially a roll sheet type material. It's a woven material, and there's different ways, you know, different types of weaves that you use, and you know, you have to mix that with different resins to make it a sound, solid product at the end. And essentially, you know, how ours is made, it's essentially similar to like a cast type application, but there's a lot of technology that has to go into it. So it's the beauty of it is it's a very laborious project, you know, which, you know, definitely is going to cut down on how many of these we can actually make, you know, especially in the beginning.
Yeah.
But it's also, it's very hard to reverse engineer. So yeah, like the, you know, from a IP perspective, it's just really hard to knock it off.
Yeah.
But it turns out to be a really sound, solid product. You know, a lot of the main benefits of carbon fiber besides weight is it's very strong. It's also really quiet. Like if you hit it with a carabiner or anything metallic, you know, you're not gonna get the same noise that you would with like, you know, aluminum product, but also the thermal transfers are real big. And I've talked about this before, and I don't know if it's just, you know, placebo or whatever, but hunting out of my carbon stand versus my aluminum platform on really cold days, I notice a difference in how cold my feet get. Hmm. And it's really interesting. And, you know, maybe I'm being biased, maybe it's placebo, but I really feel there's a difference. And I mean, you can tell the difference when you touch it, you know, on like a day that you're down in the teens or even lower, like you touch it and it just does not hold any type of temperature.
Yeah. Yeah. That's man, especially for the guys up north or even here in Iowa, when it gets cold during, you know, in December, or, I mean, even in November, it can get pretty cold here. That would be, if you could, man, I would probably buy just about anything if you told me my feet were going to stay warm. I don't care what it is.
So yeah, I can't guarantee they'll stay warm, but they wouldn't get, I don't think they're going to get as cold as they would standing on aluminum.
Yeah. So, all right. You know, obviously there's benefits from carbon fiber, especially for those guys. You know, there's a group of guys, and I have a feeling that, you know, these guys follow you, they're buying your products, but these are the, I'm just envisioning the public land guys who want the lightest weight carrying in possible. So just from a specs perspective, what is this, you know, what's this tree stand going to run as far as pounds?
It's going to finish out around 6.5 pounds, potentially just a little bit lighter because, we overbuilt a few things like the mass. We really overbuilt that mass. And, so we're going to be able to take some material out of that to lighten it up some more. So, you know, I just actually had a call today with our supplier on it, talking about some of those things. And he feels that we're probably going to be able, you know, lose another quarter to a half pound. So we should be sub 6.5 when it actually hits the market.
Right. So compared to, and I don't know whether you know this or not, compared to the cast aluminum stands that are out there, what's the difference in weight between a cast aluminum stand and a Timber Ninja carbon fiber stand?
I think most, you know, off the top of my head, most of your stands, like, you know, XOP or your original Lone Wolf that are cast, I believe they're somewhere, what, 11, 12 pound range.
Yeah.
So you're looking at about half the weight. And
yeah,
it's funny, like I never really look at a lot of people's products and like dimensions and stuff, but I also feel that our stands, you know, I guess it'd be around like maybe that Assault 2 size.
You know,
it's our platform length from the post is 25 inches and it's 17.5 wide. So you have a, you know, pretty good shooting platform to work with there.
Yeah. So as far as the tree stand is concerned, is it going to have any type of special features that's going to allow you to set up in crooked trees or balance out the platform? Or, I mean, did you guys have any hurdles to get around as far as, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like patents?
Patents, yeah, that you had to work around with that other companies had that you couldn't do to get this stand out?
No, we didn't run into any issues with that. just nature of how it was made. I mean,
yeah.
I don't off the top of my head recall like any that are still active that would be in reference, that would be actual utility patents anyway.
Okay.
In regards to any of that, but our seat and platform both level.
Perfect. Perfect. So not only level, up and down, but as far as the base is concerned, is that, does that level left and right, let's say in a crooked tree?
I mean, you could get it to like, you can have it, cam like on half of like your standoff or whatever.
Yeah.
If you're working with a crooked tree. Yeah. I mean, that's really, I haven't figured out any technology where I could actually like rotate or, you know, flip the platform. That would be pretty rad though.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, but you know, essentially the traditional way, you know, when you're dealing with a straight mass, like you are, you've got to kind of offset a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So the tree stand, when are you expecting that to be for sale, on the market, ready to go?
Yeah. So we're going to be, we're doing, small releases just cause like I was saying earlier, like the production time is pretty slow, especially getting started. So we're going to be doing some limited releases starting this spring for some pre-orders. So we've already got a list of people that have emailed us, wanting to get on the list. So, we're expecting a pretty decent launch. I mean, and essentially it's a premium product as it is. Like, is it going to be something that we sell thousands of? No. I mean, it's just, I'd be surprised. I mean, who knows?
Maybe yeah.
We could, but, it's going to be a slow production at first, but as the manufacturer gets a little bit more efficient and invest in some, a little bit more technology, we'll be able to scale that up even some more. So essentially they told me today that by the end of this year, they should be able to 4X the production. So,
oh. Well, that's good for you guys. What's this look like as far as a retail price? So when it's finally ready to go, you and like if I say, hey man, I want to try a carbon fiber stand, what's that going to cost me?
So the stand, it's going to retail around $1,300.
Okay.
You know, being American made, using carbon fiber, I mean, it really shouldn't come to any, as any secret, you know, I mean, you look at the price of carbon bows versus aluminum riser bows, and it definitely equates over to the tree stand. Same thing with your backpacks, you know, like the backpacks that are more advanced using carbon stays and stuff, you know, these things are getting into the $800 price point themselves.
Yeah.
But, you know, also with that, we're going to be offering a lifetime warranty on it too.
Oh, that's awesome.
Behind it.
So I go out, I break it, I send it back to you. What are you going to do? You're going to, so you'll fix it for free and then send it back to me?
Yeah. Yeah. If it was a fault of ours, you know, like if you run over it with the tractor or something, we can't really help anybody there. But, well, I'm not gonna say we can't, you know, I'm sure we would heavily discount somebody if they had something like that happen.
Yeah. Okay. So obviously at that price point, it's not going to be necessarily for everybody, but, $1,300, what would you say to a guy who's like, man, I love to count the ounces and count the pounds, and I know that I can cut 5 to 6 pounds off of my pack weight going into, you know, a deep public hunt. But $1,300, I don't know if I'm necessarily sure that that price is worth the 5 pounds that I'm cutting. What's your message to those people?
I mean, essentially, at the end of the day, you kind of have to identify who your customer is.
You
know, there's a lot of people that are just that are interested in it because it's new, you know,
yeah.
And carbon, it's like carbon bows. Like, are you really seeing that much of an advantage from your aluminum riser bow versus your carbon bow, at the end of the day? So, you know, I mean, really if it's down to that and it's just a price thing, like we just have to determine it's, you know, probably not a good fit for us as a customer.
Yeah.
You know, fact that we're making it here in the United States and doing all the other things that we do, you know, it's just, you know, there's been some preliminary comments, like when we had some videos go out, and people thinking that we're getting rich off making this thing. But I can tell you, there's not a lot of margin in carbon fiber.
Right.
I mean, if there was, it would be, you know, obviously even more expensive.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, your customer is your customer, right? Some people want to pay top dollar, some people don't. And it doesn't matter what the, it's all about needs, right? It's like, do I need this versus do I not need this? Or do I want this versus do I not want this? Man, you know, I've done enough of these interviews over the years that, you know, people are just, I don't know, they have what they have. They want what they want. And, you know, sometimes that falls in line with your customer. Sometimes it falls in line with someone else's customer. So, but still, yeah. Man, like, and as of right now, you are the first carbon fiber tree stand on the market, correct?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, something slipped through that I don't know about, but yeah. I mean, the only other, you know, like I've mentioned before, you know, old man had a carbon fiber climbing stand back in the '90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as lock on tree stand and sticks, you know, we were the first to do that.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, man. But okay. So you had the carbon fiber stand and maybe I missed it. I mean, I was thinking of the next question, but you're hoping to get that up and, a first order coming in somewhere around, you know, somewhere before the hunting season in 2022?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We plan on releasing the pre-orders, this spring actually. So that way they'll have plenty of time to get here. Cause you know, as we've found through doing this, I mean, really people start buying heavily, for hunting products nowadays. Well, I'm not gonna say nowadays, I don't have any history, but, what we've noticed is like starting in June is when we start really seeing orders.
Yeah.
Increase quite a bit.
Yeah.
Outside of like tax season or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So, so now you got your sticks, you got a stand. What made you want to jump into the saddle market?
Well, a lot of it comes from my background. You know, I've been a rock climber for a long time. I've been a fall protection specialist and trainer for over 15 years. So it was always part of the whole layout of the company, you know, as a mobile hunting products company, is to make sure we hit all the areas that we could. And, but we wanted to, you know, utilize some of the experience that I had, you know, cause I hunt from a saddle, I hunted from a rock climbing harness first and then got into saddle hunting. And even out of a tree stand, I still use my saddle. I call it like a hybrid type system, which I feel is essentially one of the best ways to go. But yeah, we want to do something a little different. So we're actually working with a fall protection company that I work for, I represent with my day job, to make this here in the United States. And we use some technology that we use in some of our fall protection incorporated into the saddle, which the first version that's rolling out is going to be a two panel, but it's a padded saddle. So the panels themselves are a lightweight, breathable foam. And so, you know, everybody else primarily uses mesh. You know, most of the industry saddles are made out of mesh, and you know, there's benefits to that. That definitely packs up a little bit better, but also, you know, it's very minimalist. So, you know, regardless of who you have, you know, you sometimes can experience hip pinch, which with the padding, it takes away, you know, pretty much all hip pinch. But if you're doing an all day sit, it doesn't matter what, if you're sitting in a lazy boy, you're going to get uncomfortable at some point.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the nature of the game. But, you know, one thing that we wanted to do with our saddle, like I said, we have this two panel version and we have a one panel version, that's padded. That will be coming out as well. But, you know, they're essentially to this day, there's not really a advertised saddle standard, you know, as far as safety goes.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're real big on safety and third party testing. So, what we did with our saddle is we actually built the saddle based on OSHA's fall restraint requirements. So what that, you know, pretty quickly, what that is everything that's going to come under a load has to meet 3,000 pound weight rating. So, you know, all your webbing, your bridge, your prussics, all that has to meet the 3,000. I mean, even our ropes that we use, they all meet the 3,000 pound rating as well, because we want to deliver a true, you know, safe product.
Yeah. All right. So is this a product that is truly different than the rest of the saddles on the market, or is this, and I mean this, it's funny, I don't know why I say this, but like, out of all due respect, I had a couple friends that went to the ATA show this year, And I'm not saying this was the what they saw from Timber Ninja, but they walked around to all these different, and it looks like it's just a whole, like, there wasn't necessarily anything new per se at the ATA show this year, just a lot of catching up. Everybody was kind of catching up with each other, meaning one company had a product, and now this year another company introduced the same thing, basically just to gain market share. Do you, like, is this truly new and different, or is this kind of a product where you're like, hey man, we think we should be part of the saddle market too?
It's definitely filling a hole in our line, you know, and like, it's like a tree stand that, like, how many different ways can you manufacture a tree saddle? Right.
Right.
And so, you know, the thing that's different about ours is, you know, the standard that it's built to, and the padding. I mean, that's really it, to be honest. Like, there's nothing, like, super crazy about it. I mean, and it goes, you know, I mean, everybody's noticing, like, how big saddle hunting is becoming. Like, it's here to stay. So, I don't know how many dealers came by at ATA that have never stocked saddles, but all of them were interested in starting to stock saddles. So once you get that dealer network on board, you know, that's just going to continue to spread the awareness, you know, because there's a lot of people that hunt but aren't on social media, right? I mean, I think I was doing some statistics for a presentation I have to make for Timber Ninja, and, you know, I think in 2021 or 2020 we had 11.4 million whitetail hunters. You know, that's a really big market, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, that's a big market. So, but when you think about it, I just want to say, like, the padding is different, but it's different, right? And it, something like that could make a guy who is potentially, you know, I don't want to sit in a saddle all day, maybe become a saddle hunter. So just a little bit of innovation could go a long way.
Yeah. Especially with your bigger guys.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the heavier you are, the more, you know, you're going to feel webbing and things like that bite into you. So your bigger guys are definitely going to benefit from a saddle like this.
Yeah.
And just, you know, so, yeah, I mean, it's cool because there's plenty of market share out there too, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's space for everybody that's in the market.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So along with that saddle, you guys are also introducing the platform to go along with it, correct?
Yeah. So we came out with an aluminum version first. I mean, obviously we'd like to have done carbon, but I mean, be quite frank, we invested over $30,000 in making a tree stand. So, like, we need to recoup some of that money back before we start doing it in carbon. But, it's an aluminum saddle platform. It has some good angles for positioning, you know, if you're pushing off the side to take a shot or anything like that. It's a little bit deeper than anybody else's on the market, because what I found through saddle hunting purely with, you know, saddle platform or hunting on top of sticks or whatever, is especially with, like, a traditional bow, which that's what I hunt with, is you know, you're too close to the tree sometimes to get an effective shot. And also when you're hunched over, like, in a saddle and not paying attention to your form, like, especially with a traditional bow, you always don't come back to the proper anchor. Like, your draw length isn't always reaching its max potential in that scenario. So we wanted to make ours a little bit deeper so that you have more opportunities to stand up to shoot.
Yeah. Yeah. So instead of having all the tension on the rope and the saddle itself, giving the guys the ability to actually take the tension off the rope and stand up for the shot.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, and it only certain situations that really doesn't work very well is if you're hunting a tree that's leaning towards you, you know?
Right.
That's going to compromise some of that space. And, you know, the biggest problem that most saddle hunters have is the weak side shot, right? And
absolutely,
the best way to really optimize that weak side shot is to be able to stand and turn. And that's, in my opinion, that's why using a saddle and a lock-on is a really good setup, especially for all-day sits.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So on top of, let's just add it together. Maybe, like, I don't see anything on your website right now of the products that we talked about. When do you plan on adding that stuff into your
All the products will be launched this spring.
Okay.
Is our goal. As long as material prices and labor doesn't continue to be an issue.
Yeah. So platform. So obviously, if you're going to grab a saddle, you're probably going to grab a platform too. What's the combined weight of the saddle and the platform?
So our platform is 4.5 pounds. You know, being bigger and made out of aluminum, it's you know, definitely one of the, I would say, one, you know, up in the market with like the Trophy line, you know, with there's platform, you know, right there around 4.5 pounds.
Yeah.
The saddle itself weighs, I believe it was 1.5 or 2 pounds. I can't remember. I weighed it one time, but that's a question I actually don't even get very much, is how much the saddle weighs.
Yeah. So we're looking at it, roughly, the same weight as one of your tree stands. So right around in that 5-6 pound range.
Yeah. Essentially. I mean, but you're still going to need, even with a tree stand, some type of fall restraint or fall protection, you know, so that's going to pick it up, especially if you get with a full body harness, like most people do.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. So those are the three big ones. Did you have any other products that you guys are thinking about bringing to market in 2022?
Yeah, we have a carbon fiber mobile hunting camera arm. So it's a really compact, using carbon fiber tube. You know, it's really good for your solo filmer, self-filmer type guys. Yep. Actually have some out, though. It's getting tested by some production film guys as well, just kind of giving some feedback. But it's a mixture of carbon and also 3D printed components. So
okay.
Really lightweight. I mean, with the buckle and everything, it's like 1.8 pounds.
Okay. And how much weight is it rated to hold? I mean, how big of a camera can you put on the end of it?
We've had like a my business partner, Jordan, has, what is it? A Sony A700 was a DSLR.
Yeah.
So he's had that on there with his bigger lens, no problem out to your corner points. And then also, the guy sent me a picture today. He had one of those, like, you know, the mini hand cam type things on it, and said it was working fine for him. So should be able to, you know, handle anybody's type of camera that they're using currently. I mean, we have double bubble levels on it, so you can adjust it multiple ways to get it in line. But, you know, and I'm not saying this is by no means like a Fourth Arrow type product. You know, actually, those guys came by the booth, and real nice guys, and they were looking at it, and, you know, they know it has its place, but it's not a production quality, in my opinion, to what someone like Fourth Arrow manufactures.
Yeah. So is that a traditional two-piece camera arm then, where the base and the arm come off of each other and then you put it together in the tree?
No, it's all one solid.
Okay.
You have a tube base, then the arm is connected to that. So, and it has a setback on it that you can rotate, you know, based on the angle of the tree. And then also a set screw, you know, that goes in at the top instead of another standoff.
Gotcha. All right, cool. All right. So carbon fiber, and a little bit of aluminum and a saddle and a platform. You've filled a lot of gaps in 2022. Like where do you see yourself going from there? Different versions, different sizes of tree stand, different versions and sizes of your sticks, or are you going to ride what you have for a while and just continue to improve those products?
No, our plan is, you know, to stay on top of innovation. So we're constantly already have other ideas in the hopper of things that we can do, you know, with this tree stand, the sticks, just to continue to innovate. I mean, with this stand, we probably will offer another smaller option, because, you know, the platform on this one's 25 from the post, 27 overall, and it's 17.5 wide. So it's a little bit, you know, in that mid-range size style. But so we probably will come out, you know, based on how successful it is, come out with a little bit smaller version of that to potentially get us down, you know, in a more compact situation, but also lighter weight.
Yeah.
And we're also exploring other types of technology to be used in the lock on, which we will, you know, like I was mentioning earlier, we will roll out a carbon fiber saddle platform at some point too, but realistically that'd be 2023. We're already in the design process of some new sticks that we want to bring to market using the same technology that we discovered to make the tree stand. So also to accommodate some of the areas that we feel are weaknesses with our sticks. And one of the main ones is just like how compact they actually stack. So we've got some ideas that we're working on for a new stick that will be potentially all carbon fiber except for what bites in the tree. And then, you know, we're just going to continue to keep coming out with new, fun, cool shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's the part I like about it.
You know,
like I was talking on a podcast the other day, it's like, you know, dude, I think I'm going to get rich off selling carbon fiber tree stands. Probably not, but it just makes me feel good because I like to innovate, to be the first to do something. And, you know, that's what I like about it. You know, I don't like the social media. I don't like any of this other stuff that comes with this role. I just like designing products. That's the fun part to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the cool thing about it is you're designing products for the style of hunter that you are. So from a business owner standpoint, I would feel it. I would guess it feels pretty damn good to be like, not only did I create this product, but it's helping me be more of a successful hunter.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and I've talked about that before. It's like, if you're going to design something intended for a certain use, you got to have a lot of experience, you know, using it in the way that you're making it, right? I mean, like, I've been mobile hunting since I was a kid. Like, we've always public land mobile hunted, but, you know, mainly because I grew up really poor, couldn't be in a hunting club, but ultimately it was a good adventure, and I've stuck with that. You know, I have hunted some private land over the years, but, you know, I'm 41 years old and been hunting since I'm 7, so, like, I've got a pretty good basis of intel, you know, of what's needed to be a mobile hunter, and especially hunting in the mountains, you know, like, you got to be compact and light to hunt these mountains effectively. Cause I mean, a lot of times I'm hiking in, you know, at least 3 miles one way. So, you know, when you knock something down, you want to hopefully be able to get that sucker out in one trip. So
yeah,
the more lighter and compact your equipment is, you know, you can get your deer and everything out.
Yeah. That's a fact, my friend. Now, moving further down the line, right? You've already mentioned, you know, being an industry leader, talking about an innovation leader. What comes next? I mean, well, you know, you're all of the things that you've wanted to do. As far as products are concerned, like, do you have any wild cards in your back pocket? Do you guys see yourself going into a completely different category because you see a gap there? Or is this kind of your path for a while?
We've had a lot of discussion. Like, we are, one thing I failed to mention is we are going to be manufacturing a lightweight mobile hunting backpack that will essentially clip into our stand as well, but also work on its own. So I could see us getting more into some soft goods. I mean, we have some other ideas of things that complement mobile hunting that are soft good type products. So I could see us expanding into that as well, a little bit more heavily.
Yeah.
But as far as that goes, I mean, you know, with the exception of maybe some like gear hanger type stuff, you know, we may get into that as well. And, but, you know, right now we're just focused on getting this stuff out to market.
Yeah. The accessory market seems to be doing pretty well, from just what I've seen, you know, hooks and other things that strap to the tree or strap to your backpack or screw into your wall or whatever. I don't want to say trinkets because they have a function, but those style of products seem to be on the rise in popularity.
Oh, for sure. And it's a very low barrier of entry to get into as
right.
well. I mean,
right.
the access to the 3D printers these days, and you don't have to have an insurance. So it's a pretty low bar of entry to get in. And, you know, I have multiple buddies that are, you know, in that 3D printing space, and And it's interesting. A lot of them are engineers by trade, so that they can whip up stuff in no time, you know?
Yeah.
Like, my buddy is printing the parts for our camera arm. Like, I can tell him something in the morning, and by lunchtime, he's already printed it out for me. So yeah. it's really interesting how that's working out.
Well, it also shortens the time on that innovation that you stand, that you, you know, that you talked about. So if you can come up with a concept and then actually have a physical product to test in the same day, the generations or the 1.0, 2.0, 3.0 versions can all be within the same week. And the next thing you know, your concept to manufacturing timeline has shrunk. You're first to market in whatever you want to be in, because you have the ability to make these types of adjustments in a shorter time frame than the competition.
Yeah. I mean, there is definitely an advantage to that. And we're actually looking at doing some of that type of printing just to, for our tree, you know, for future models of tree stands and platforms, you know.
Yeah.
Not necessarily something that's going to be as strong as what we're going to manufacture, but at least we can kind of get the feel and function of it.
So, yeah.
We're definitely going to be leaning more on that in the future.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And I like the direction. I like the direction. It's because I think this, what you've done, especially with the carbon fiber, I don't know, man, 10 years ago, everybody was talking about carbon fiber. And, you know, or they're just like, man, wouldn't it be cool if we had a carbon fiber this or a carbon fiber that? Or, and then the bows, they started having those carbon bows. They came out. The first models I personally thought were junk. And I was just like, no. But then as you start, you know, as the technology started to get advanced, as those 2.0, 3.0 models started to come to market, you're like, oh, this isn't as bad as it was back in the day. And then you hear the public land guys or the mobile guys saying, hey, man, I wish I had carbon fiber this or carbon fiber that. And here we are today talking about, you know, there's actually a carbon fiber tree stand now. There's actually carbon fiber steps. All this thing is a reality now. So who knows what's going to happen in the next 10 years. And the cool thing about that is it makes the tree stand market sexy. You know what I mean? It makes it interesting and unique and technology filled.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that was something I was going to mention earlier. It's like, there's guys that are going to buy a carbon fiber stand or sticks just because, like you said, they're sexy.
Yeah.
You know, they look different. They're cool. I mean, and to your comments about, you know, how many more things are coming out in carbon, like I raced bicycles for a long time, like road bike types. And, you know, I started when the aluminum bikes were kind of the main thing, but then carbon started coming in. And if you look now, like any mountain bike racer, any road bike racer, all those bikes are carbon now. Like, you rarely see, especially like any type of teams or anything, utilizing aluminum bikes anymore.
Yeah,
it's all carbon.
Yeah,
essentially they got more efficient with it, and, you know, I'm not gonna say the production costs has went down at all, because, like, you know, like my latest mountain bike was like $9,000, you know.
Yeah,
so they're not getting any cheaper. I mean, you can get some Taiwanese type stuff out there, but I've seen those things snap too many times.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that, because I got a buddy who is as passionate as I am about whitetail hunting. And he's as passionate about bicycling. And he has one of those road bikes. And it's just like, I don't know, when you pick it up, it just feels like the weight of my cell phone. It is not, there's nothing to this bike. So, man, who knows where it's going to go from here. But, anything else? You know, the last question I always ask anybody is, if there's a guy sitting on, you know, he listens to this podcast and he says, man, I'm going to go to TimberNinjaOutdoors.com. I'm going to check out their website, check out their products. And they're debating on whether or not to buy some of your products. What would you like to tell them?
I mean, essentially you're investing in, you know, American-made products. Invest in your people. Like, we have your neighbors. We have a lot of people that have messaged us and said, hey, you know, we thought about buying something cheaper from China, but we really want to support an American company, and we really value, you know, your core values of giving back to conservation and new hunter recruitment and education, and, you know, they and supporting veterans. Like, we don't offer any discounts except the veterans, and law enforcement and first responders and people like that. So, you know, we just stick to that. I mean, we're not, you know, we've never ran a sale. Like, that's really not something in our wheelhouse. Like, you know, because we're not making a ton of margin here. Like, you know, we're doing it for the love, but, you know, it is paying for itself. And potentially, you know, we'll be making more money. But, you know, we just want to always make stuff in the U.S. and do it the right way, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a fact, my friend. Well, Jason, man, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to hop on and chat about Timber Ninja and the new products you guys have launched coming up this spring. So thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it, Tim. Thanks for having us on.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.